This evening we focus our attention on our gospel reading from John chapter 13. You may be seated. It took three whole years to complete it, and it's now one of the most recognizable paintings in the entire world. You can find it on all sorts of things, its image on carpets and carvings and canvases and all other manner of things. One of the most memorable things about my grandparents' home when I was growing up was the massive latch hook version of this painting that was in their dining room, with lifelike facial expressions that couldn't be captured by anyone else at that time. This 15 foot by 29 foot painting became an instant masterpiece. Some of you may have already guessed what painting we're talking about. It's The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. When da Vinci was 43 years old, the Duke of Milan commissioned him to paint this dramatic scene. So da Vinci worked on it for 3 years, from 1495 to 1498. Now, he wasn't doing it full time during that time, but he worked on it for those 3 years. And he grouped the disciples into threes, two groups on either side of the central figure in the painting, which we know is Jesus. Sitting there at the table on the night when he gathered together his disciples for that Passover meal. When that masterpiece was finished, da Vinci said to a friend, he said, "Look at it and give me your honest opinion." And the friend said, "It's wonderful. Christ's chalice is so real that I can't take my eyes off of it." The story goes that immediately da Vinci took out his brush and he painted over the chalice, exclaiming, "Nothing shall detract from Jesus. Nothing shall detract from Jesus." And why is that? There are plenty of reasons that nothing should ever detract from Jesus, but one of the biggest, as it relates to this night that we now remember, is that Jesus was betrayed. Let that soak in for just a moment. Jesus was betrayed. The words of institution for the Holy Supper begin on the night when he was betrayed. We hear these words so often that sometimes maybe we really don't hear them, or at least don't let them sink in. Tonight we meet Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, and we meet him in the upper room on that very night when Jesus was betrayed. "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Betrayed by Judas, one of his own 12 disciples. Betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayed by Judas with, of all things, a kiss. Betrayed by Judas in a garden east of Jerusalem called Gethsemane. Betrayed. That's why da Vinci exclaimed, "Nothing shall detract from Jesus." Jesus was betrayed for us. According to Matthew, Judas must have been seated very close to Jesus on the night of that Last Supper, close enough for the two of them to carry on an intimate conversation. It may be that the Savior singled out Judas as an important guest, allowed him to sit right next to him. But then Jesus gives Judas that morsel of bread, even while Judas is still holding on to that plan to betray Jesus. Then after he had taken the morsel, the text tells us, Satan entered into him. The term Satan is only used to tell this story in John's gospel. And it accents the absolute seriousness of this situation. John 6 calls Judas a devil, while Mark 5 and Luke 8 employ that same vocabulary to describe evil spirits that entered into people and possessed them. There are a lot of interesting details if you take a look at Da Vinci's Last Supper. Did you know that there was a spilled salt shaker right next to the elbow of Jesus? Of Judas? Why is it there? In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us that you are the salt of the earth. If it in fact was Judas who knocked over that salt shaker, that salt that Judas once was is now lost because of his greed. The same could happen to us in our greed, our constant lust for more. Another very interesting detail is they're having an odd menu at the Last Supper. There's fish and there's oranges in Da Vinci's Last Supper. Some have said that the fish are herring. And the reason that they might say that is because in Da Vinci's Italian dialect, the word for herring is renga. And renga in that dialect doesn't only mean herring, it also is the word that describes someone who has denied religion. Which tells us that Judas is not the only sinner there at the Last Supper. Peter denied Jesus in the high priest's courtyard. The disciples desert Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Renga. All of them. Renga. But not just them, all of us. John writes, after receiving the morsel of bread, he, Judas, immediately went out, and it was night. It's dark. The whole scene is dark. Jesus has warned them that this night is coming. Night and darkness are coming in a way that none of them could have expected. But Jesus allowed all of this to happen for you. And those two words, for you, are a powerful gospel proclamation. For God is not against you. He's not in opposition to you. God is not your enemy. God is for you. Not just for him or for her or for these or for those. God's love is intensely personal. It's for you. We don't go to restaurants all that often. But when we do, the hostess always wants to know how many are in your party. I guess they can't count that high. And after we do our own counting, just to make sure that everybody's there, we hope that we can give them an accurate number. But can you imagine going into a restaurant and not knowing how many people are with you, how many are in your party? Imagine the hostess asking, how many are there? And you say, I'm not sure. Then the hostess might come back with, how many will be joining you for dinner? And you say, I don't know. A little weird to go to a dinner party and not know how many people are with you. Tonight, you're invited to dinner, and I hope that you know how many are in your party. Now, don't look around and start pointing at people and counting, because the answer is two. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, you know who's in your party. It's two. Holy Communion is a table for two. Of course, you're going to be sharing this table for two right here with lots of people this evening that you are in fellowship with. But ultimately, Christ has prepared this table. He has given his body and his blood for you. And he invites you to dine with him. dying on him. Real body, real blood, given for you. Martin Luther writes, there is something more than the sermon. For although the same thing is present in the sermon as in the sacrament, here there is the advantage that it is directed at definite individuals. The sermon from this place right here might go right over your head, or it might go past your shoulder, and it might not hit you squarely where it needs to. I do hope that some days it does. But I really hope that every time that you come to this altar, that God's word, God's message, God's love, God's gifts hit you squarely where they need to. That you know that he has sacrificed his body, that he has shed his blood for you. Jesus never gives up on you. You might give up on you, but Jesus will never give up on you. When soldiers spit in his face, Jesus didn't give up. When a whip ripped open his back, Jesus did not give up. When nails pierced his hands and his feet, Jesus didn't give up. Even when we betray and deny him, Jesus doesn't give up. Jesus will never give up on you. Did you know that since its completion in 1498, that painting, The Last Supper, has been falling apart? There's very little left of that painting that actually is the original at this point. Because Leonardo da Vinci, always the inventor, was trying to use new materials when he created The Last Supper. Instead of using the customary wet plaster, he decided to use dry plaster. And that dry plaster worked very well artistically, but it's not very good at all for sustainability. So experts have been working on restoring the original ever since. How fitting is that? The Lord's Supper is for people whose lives, like that painting, are always falling apart. In this life, we're never going to get it right. Thank God we have those gospel words for you. In the Lord's Supper, God acts for you right now. God delivers to you true body and true blood here and now. Some people claim that Holy Communion is simply a remembrance of a man who died. But in fact, it's exactly the opposite of that. Holy Communion is a true meal with the man who lives. Because the is, in take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, means is. Is doesn't mean signifies, it doesn't mean represents, it doesn't mean symbolizes. Those kind of views didn't even arise until the 11th century when they began to be promoted by a French theologian named Berengar of Tours, whose watchwords were, flee to reason. No, don't flee to reason, flee to scripture. Believe what it says. This is for you. This is my body. This is my blood. There are plenty of things in life that surprise us. There are plenty of things that aren't quite what they seem. What may look like something that's completely ordinary may end up being something absolutely extraordinary. And the Lord's Supper is just like that. When Christ's words, take, eat, this is my body, and take, drink, this is my blood, are spoken over bread and wine, something happens that we couldn't have possibly expected. It's so much more. It's no longer just bread and wine. That bread participates with Christ's body. That blood participates with Christ's blood. What might look ordinary, like a simple meal, is no longer just that. It's become completely extraordinary. But there's more, because there's always more in the gospel. Da Vinci's The Last Supper is not just a picture of a place and time. It gives us a view into heaven, because that's what the Lord's Supper does. The Lord's Supper is the foretaste of the feast to come. Jesus is coming to restore all things. And at that heavenly banquet, we'll no longer have to look at our sins. We'll be perfect, wearing white robes washed in the blood of Jesus. At that heavenly banquet, we'll no longer be sad because of the broken hearts and broken lives that we have. In heaven, we'll be gathered together with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. At that heavenly banquet, we'll no longer need Jesus to come to us in the sacrament, because we're going to see him face to face. And he will fill us with unspeakable joy that will never end. People use a lot of words when they speak about Holy Communion. Lots of different names: the sacrament, the Eucharist. But some of the most important words about communion are those very two short words: for you. For you, in the past, Christ died. For you, right now, Christ is present. For you, in the future, you will partake of the marriage feast of the Lamb that will have no end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.